Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
This morning we're going to be reading Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. You'll recall last week we focused on what's next, right? And we focused on Saul on his way to Damascus, and he was blinded, and Jesus cried out, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he blinded Saul, and he told Saul to go into Damascus and hang out there, and he'd take care of him later. And that's kind of where we pick the story up this morning. Saul's been blinded on his way to Damascus to basically jail the church. To arrest the church and put them in jail. And this is where we pick up this morning in Acts chapter 9, verse 10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. And when we say the Lord, in my Bible it's red letters, so this is Jesus talking to Ananias. He says, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," Ananias answered him. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street." We see this word "go" quite a bit in Acts chapter 8 and chapter 9. "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man named from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named you, Ananias, come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "now I've heard many reports about this man that you're sending me to and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here to my city with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name, including me. But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go,'" with an exclamation point. "This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show you how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and he entered it and he placed his hands on Saul and he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up, he was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. It's the word of the Lord this morning. You may be seated. You can have a seat this morning. As I read this story this morning, as we study Acts chapter 9, I really don't know that much about Ananias. I don't know much about this guy. He doesn't appear anywhere else in the Bible. This is like his 15 minutes of fame. Have you ever had 15 minutes of fame? This is Ananias' 15 minutes of fame. And he doesn't appear anywhere else, but he plays this incredibly important role in Saul's conversion. Like if there was no Ananias, Saul would not have met Jesus and been converted and baptized. And could have changed history. So as I read something like this, I ask myself the question, how does a regular guy like Ananias, just a typical blue-collar guy like you and me, how does a regular guy like him find himself in the middle of one of the most important conversions in the history of the church? Because he was just sitting there, minding his own business, and then all of a sudden Jesus shows up and gives him a little assignment. How does that happen? Was it by accident? Was it by chance? You could say, God just picked it. He got the shortest straw. He got picked by God to do it because he was around. I don't think it was by chance, though. I think there was more to this story going on as we read into the story that we're studying this morning. I really believe that Ananias finds himself used by Christ in this story because Ananias was nurturing a healthy relationship with the Lord. He was in the process of nurturing his own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I really guess that's what I'm here to talk to you about this morning. If we really just boil it down to that essence, because I like to keep things simple. What does it take to nurture a healthy relationship with the Lord? That's kind of the question I want to go after this morning. What does it take to nurture the type of relationship with Jesus where we feel like we're making a connection with God? What does it take to make this connection with God? Now, we may never get to the point where Christ speaks to us directly and audibly like he spoke to Ananias in this vision. But God does speak to his followers. He speaks to us. What does it take to nurture the type of relationship with the Lord where I can say, I really feel like I'm making contact with heaven? I'm really making a connection with God. I can sense the Holy Spirit in my life, and I can sense that God is speaking to me. I don't think this is rocket science, you know, because you can come into this whole relationship with Jesus thing and really be intimidated by it because it's foreign. It's not what we typically expect in everyday life. But it's not rocket science. Spending time with the Lord helps us connect with Him. It's that simple. You want to nurture a healthy relationship with God, you have to spend time with Jesus. It's pretty simple to understand. Now, if you've been around the church, you probably have picked up on the concept of personal devotions. If you've been in the church and you've heard this whole concept of personal devotions, just raise your hands this morning. You've heard of this kind of personal devotions. Great. Guess what? We walk out here on the street and we say, I've had my personal devotions this morning. They're going to look at you like you are nuts. You did what? What kind of cereal is that? Not in my oatmeal. Devotions. Personal devotions. Very churchy word. Very churchy phrase. Within these walls makes total sense, but when you walk out there, what in the world does that mean? Church, we got to speak the same language of the people we're trying to reach. And so this morning I want to talk about that a little bit. In the church we'll say, well, during my devotions today, or I do my devotions right before bed, or I do my devotions first thing in the morning. And we say that in the walls of the church, and it's like, oh, okay, I get it. But you go out there and you say that to people, they're like, what are you doing? What does that look like? Do you like bow three times to the... Is that your religion? Because people don't know. They're not trying to be mean. They're not trying to be critical. They just don't know what that means, what that looks like. I remember when I was a kid, we had devotions, family devotions, after dinner. Almost every night. We had family devotions as a child. My mom and dad did that. Christians do their devotions. Christians do their devotions, right? So let's put that in English this morning. What does this mean, doing devotions? Devotions are essentially devoted time that we set aside for interaction with the Lord. Devoted time that we set aside for interaction with the Lord. So let's get real for a moment. We devote time in our lives to things that matter to us. We devote time to the things that matter most to us in our lives. We'll make space on our calendars for the most important things. Right? Many of us, we devote up to 8 or more hours a day earning a living. Why? Because it's important and we have bills to pay. We've got to sustain our household. Many of us, we devote time to spend with our families. Why? Because our families are important and we want to nurture those relationships. So we give them a piece of not our minds. Sometimes we do give them a piece of our minds. But we give them a piece of our time because they matter to us. All of us, every single person in this room, we devote time, and this is my favorite, we all devote time to sleep. Right? We all devote time to sleep. Some of us just need a few hours of sleep. Some of you can get along on 4 or 5 hours and you're just fine. Others need 7, 8. Most of our young people need 10, especially on Saturdays. They're like, no, we don't. I'm a 4 hour. I remember when I was a young man, when I was like 16 or 17 years old, on Saturday morning, I loved sleeping in. I would sleep in until like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's probably because I stayed up until 2 o'clock the night before playing video games. But now, as I'm older, I'm really excited about bedtime. I'm like, I'm so glad to be back in my bed so that I can sleep. And I know a lot of you are feeling that way. We devote time to sleep because it's an important part of our life. We devote time to things that we perceive that bring value to us. Can we just agree on that? If it's important to you, you will devote time to whatever that thing is. For followers of Jesus, it's important to devote time to nurture your relationship with Christ. That's an important part of being a disciple of Christ. Now, all of you this morning in this room, you all devoted time to come to church. You all devoted time to nurture that spiritual relationship by coming to this service this morning. For some people, they'll devote their time to listen to this service on our podcast. And if you're listening out there, everybody say hi.
Hi.
A little interaction going there for the people who listen to this later. Now, some of us devoted time to come to Sunday school this morning. Some of us devoted time to find that opportunity to connect with God, to connect with friends all at the same time, to study the Word together, to share prayer requests and fellowship with one another. Some of us, we devote time to serve in the church. You know, we have a ton of people who serve at Next Gen on Sunday nights. You know, we have people making the food, we have people serving our kids, teaching our kids, hanging out, just making sure everybody's safe and doing what they're doing. We have people devoting their time to picking up our kids and bringing them in on the church van. We have people who will be devoting their time for VBS coming up at the end of the month. Thank you in advance for that, if you're participating in that. But beyond all that activity that we do at church, folks, hear me here. Beyond all this activity, the things that we devote our time to, we all need to make sure that we devote some alone time with Jesus. So on top of coming to church, on top of going to Sunday school or serving in the different roles that we have, we need to make sure that we're devoting some personal time alone with Christ. Often, you see, I think there's a correlation. I'm not a math person, but I think there's this correlation between the quality of our relationship with Jesus and the quality of our devoted time that we spend with Him. Okay? You hear me here? There's a correlation between the quality of our relationship with Christ and the quality of our time that we spend with Jesus, our devoted time with Him. I don't think it's an accident that Jesus was able to enter into this dialogue with Ananias in this story. I don't think that was an accident at all that we read about this morning in Acts chapter 9. As a matter of fact, I have a hunch that the quality of the conversation we find between Jesus and Ananias correlates directly to the quality of Ananias' devoted time. He was spending time nurturing this relationship with Jesus, and when he did that, Jesus came to him and spoke to him and guided him and directed him and equipped him and enabled him. So that brings me to this question this morning. What does it take? What does quality devoted time with Jesus look like? What does quality devoted, and you know, and I think that maybe we take for granted that everybody just gets this, and I really felt compelled this morning, let's break this down into English. Let's break this down into the parts and ask the question, what does quality devoted time with Jesus look like? First of all, you have to make space on your calendar. You just have to make space on your calendar. You have to make time for Him. If a date makes it on your calendar, you'll know it's important. You know, my calendar is always booked by somebody else for me in my job. I always am looking for time to do work, but I'm always in meetings that other people call me into. And I have to separate time aside to get stuff done that I need to get done. And one of those things that I need to set time aside for on my calendar is devoted time with Jesus. I've got to do it. You've got to do it. We've all got to do it. Second of all, what we do during that time, that space that we've made for Jesus on our calendar, is really important. How do we occupy this devoted time to God, to Jesus? How should we be occupying that time? I think the dialogue between Ananias and Jesus in Acts chapter 9 really provides a simple pattern that any of us can remember and carry out of here today. You don't even need to take notes. I think you'll get this pretty quickly. But if you want to take notes, you can. I'd like to offer up four simple things that we should be doing during our devoted time with Jesus, during our devoted time with the Lord. Four things. I don't think you necessarily need to do these things, these four things, in any particular order. I really don't. But I think that when you devote your time to Jesus on a daily basis, these four things should be a part of what we do. First of all, it's up here on the screen. We need to make space for the Lord to speak to us. First thing you need to do in your devoted time, your devotions. I almost said devotions. I'm trying not to say that. First thing you need to do in your devoted time is make space for the Lord to speak. You ever have a conversation with somebody, but they won't shut up? Every Sunday with you, Pastor. Maybe I was a little too close to the target there this morning. That means we need to take time for the Lord to speak. That means we need to take time to study the Bible. We need to make time. We need to take time to read and study the Bible. And I hear this all the time. Oh, I hate to read. The Bible's so boring and so dry. And I was like, have you read the Bible lately? Because it's probably one of the, it is a bestseller. You know, and it's stood the test of time. It's a pretty exciting story from front to back. But Pastor, I just hate to read. I hate to exercise. But I do it. Why? Because this doesn't just happen. It helps me maintain a level of health. Every time I go to the doctor, the older I get, he's like, are you moving? Are you exercising? Are you moving? You need to keep moving. Because I'm like, oh, my joints ache. And he's like, keep moving. The more you move, the less you'll hurt. I hate to eat my vegetables. Amen? But I do it even though I don't like it. Why? Because I need the nutrition. Kevin's like, no, you don't need to. I hate to go to work some days. Some of you guys hate to go to school some days. But I do it. I go to work even though I don't want to. Why? Because if I don't, I'm not going to have enough money to pay my bills, and then I'm going to be in a world of hurt. I'm going to be digging myself out. I do things I don't like to do because I need to do them to keep my life running, my health maintained. I do it so that I'm not falling apart. Making space for the Lord to speak to us through the Word may not feel like doing it, but it's a discipline we've got to get ourselves into. It's part of our devoted time. We need to engage the Word even if we don't feel like it. We need to engage the Word. We need to be reading the Word. Read it with a purpose too. Don't just kind of, oh, I read a chapter in the Bible, Pastor. What did you read? I have no idea, but I did my devotions today. I do that every once in a while myself. Read with purpose. Read to try to comprehend what's happening there. And you don't have to read a whole chapter. You know, you can read with purpose though. Don't just read to check the box. If you want to go deeper in the Word, read two or three verses and then just try to paraphrase what that says. In your own words, what did that scripture just say to me? Just engage with the Word. You'll be shocked at how the Lord can work with you if you just take a few moments, let God speak to you and paraphrase what you're reading off that page into your own words. You can't nurture a relationship with Christ if you're not willing to read the Bible. Okay? This is an essential. This is like a deal breaker. This is a deal breaker. You can call yourself a Christian, but if you're not in the Word, if you're not learning what the Bible says, and if you're not allowing the Bible to speak to you, you're not really a Christian. Indeed, you might be a Christian in label, but it's a deal breaker. You've got to read the Word in order to nurture this relationship with Christ, because you see, this isn't the Bible that you have in your hands. You know, when we pick up a Bible, and I preach off of my iPad, but I'll just pick up an actual Bible book. This isn't just any book. You know, I think we pull it off the shelf. It looks like a book. It's got pages. It's got a binder. You know, it's got a table of contents. It's got letters on the pages that I can read legibly. You know, it's got information, but this is not like any other book. This book is living and active. You know, when you pick it up off the shelf, yes, it's just an inanimate object. But when you pick it up off the shelf and you open it up and you start reading it, something mystical happens. Amen. You're like, mystical? Ooh, Pastor. Something mystical happens because this Word is living and active. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit works through these pages, and the Spirit can take what's on these pages and the truth that it speaks to me in my life and speak to me directly to my need, and it speaks directly to you and your need. It convicts. It shows us what's right. It shows us what's wrong. It comes alive. The moment believers start reading this Word, the moment people start engaging with the Word, it's living and active. It may look like a book. May smell like a book, may read like a book, but as we engage the words of this book, something mystical is happening. This is the living Word of God. Amen. The living Word of God. And if we're going to nurture a relationship with God, we've got to handle this Word with reverence. Amen. You know, we don't handle it with reverence just because it's a holy book, because it's got the word holy on the binder here. We revere it because when we open it and it starts speaking, it's alive. It's active. It's God speaking to us. This is our connection between the throne of heaven and our hearts. It's like your cell phone. It's how God gets in touch with you. And so as we respect this, we respect it for what it is. It's the Word of God. It is holy. It is holy, but not because we make this book holy. It is holy because of what it is. We've got to make room for God to speak during our devoted time. Second, really easy. So you got to make space for God to speak, for Jesus to speak to you. Second of all, we need to make space to listen. We need to make space to listen. So often, if we do read the Word, we're in such a hurry that we close the book or we close the app, and we're off to the next thing. Anybody do that? Oh, I've got a busy day today. I'm going to do my devotions. I'm going to read the scripture real quick. And then I got to zip off into my schedule, and we read it. We check the box, but we don't take any real time to reflect on it or listen to it or let it to penetrate our hearts. We've got to make space to listen to the Word of God. We can't nurture a relationship with the Lord if we don't make space to listen. Think about the relationships you have, and the most frustrating relationships that you have in your life are the ones where you try to communicate, but the other person doesn't listen.
Amen.
It's so frustrating. Yes, our kids. Sometimes our spouses. It's like, you are not listening to me. Pastor Vicki the other day, she was going through details on some topic, and I was focused on writing an email for work. And she got through this whole diatribe, and I'm sitting there writing, and she's like, Joe. I'm like, what? She goes, you didn't hear a word I said, did you? I wasn't listening. And she was getting frustrated because we weren't communicating. She was talking, I wasn't listening. You can't nurture a relationship with the Lord if you don't make space during your devoted time to listen. Make space to think about the Word of God that you're reading. How do I do that, Pastor? It's really easy. Create some quiet space. Sometimes we've got to create some quiet. I've told you about my porch. I love my porch during the summertime because I can make space there and it's quiet. It's me, the birds, the neighbor's cat, and the Word. Right? And I get a lot out of that time. I really enjoy it. Go for a walk. Just get away so that you can get away from the noise of your life and turn off the television. Because sometimes we'll read the Bible while the news is on. You know, WHIO is on in the background and we're trying to get close with God. Remove the distractions. Turn off the radio.
And the phone.
Just get rid of the make some quiet space so you can allow yourself to reflect on how God may be speaking to you during this devoted time. We are in such a hurry sometimes that we don't know how to stop. We don't know how to apply the brakes in our lives. We are in such a hurry. Some of you are really anxious right now for me to get done talking so you can get out of here and go do what you need to do. I'm serious. We are in such a hurry we don't know how to stop and let God speak to us. And when we do stop, I don't know about you, but when we do stop, we fall asleep because we're so tired for being in a hurry. And sometimes I think we make excuses to stay so busy so we don't have to stop, because I think we're actually afraid deep down underneath that if I stop and actually listen to God, I may be freaked out by what He says to me. So if I just keep making excuses to stay busy, I won't have to listen to Him. I won't have to stop and listen. Make space for the Lord to speak. Make space to stop and listen and reflect. Third, what do you do during devoted time? Make space to speak to the Lord. So God speaks through the Word. We listen and process what He's saying. But we also need to make time during our devoted time with Jesus to speak to Him. We call this prayer, by the way. This is prayer. Part of our devoted time to Christ is making space so that we can speak to Him. It's not just a one-sided conversation where God's doing all the talking and you're doing all the listening. God wants to hear from you. He'd really like to hear what's on your heart and your mind. He'd like to hear you say it. He knows what's in there already, but He'd like to hear you verbalize it. because he knows if you verbalize it to him, somehow there's catharsis in just saying it, saying what's going on and acknowledging the reality of what's happening in our lives. Part of our devoted time to Christ is making space so we can speak to him. And every strong relationship is built on two-way communication. Every strong relationship is built on two-way communication. Make time to pray. Don't know what to say? Pastor, I always try to pray, but I don't know what to say. Just say what's on your heart. We spent last summer studying the Lord's Prayer. Use the Lord's Prayer as a pattern on how to talk to the Lord. Just use it as a prompt to prompt you in the way that you need to take to God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. It's important to speak authentically what's on your heart too. God can take it. I think sometimes we think, oh, I've got to be nice. I got to hold back what's really inside me, when God just wants us to be real with him. If you read the book of Psalms is very raw. If you read that particular book in the Bible, it's a book of prayers by David and others, and they're very raw, and you see a very real element of authenticity come out in the Psalms. And I think that we're given those Psalms because it teaches us how to pray to God in terms of tone and authenticity. Be honest with God in our prayers. Be honest with him. It's part of nurturing a healthy relationship with Jesus. Make space so Christ can speak. Read the word. Make space to listen so you can process what you're hearing. Make space to talk to God. That's your part of the conversation. And finally, thank goodness, Pastor. Finally, make space to respond. Make space to respond to Christ in your daily life. Too often, I think our devoted time with Jesus remains compartmentalized. And we live our lives like ice cube trays. And we have our devotions over here in this little compartment in the ice cube tray. But it never bleeds over into the other pieces of the ice cube tray. We keep it compartmentalized. We keep it bottled up. We may read the Word. We may read it every day. We may reflect on the Word. Every day, we may do steps one and two. We may speak to God. We may pray. But sometimes we never allow that process to change the way we actually live our lives. We do our devotions, but then we go live like we want to. And so part of spending this devoted time, if we're doing it the right way, it's not only impacting us during that time, but it's bleeding over into the rest of our lives. Going back to the story for this morning with Ananias. Jesus spoke to him. He said, go. Right? And then Ananias said, are you crazy, God? He's trying to kill me. And then God comes back and he says, go, with an exclamation point. Go do it. And Ananias, through this dialogue, God spoke, Ananias listened, Ananias spoke, and then Ananias went, and he acted. You see the pattern working out there? Jesus spoke, Ananias listens, he replied to the Lord, finally Ananias acts in obedience to the conversation. What started as a dialogue, and this is the simple truth of it this morning, what started as a dialogue in Ananias' devotional time turned into action. It started during that quiet time, but it bled over into his life and it turned into actual activity in his walk with Christ. Had Ananias not been nurturing this dialogue with Jesus, I don't think he would have been in a position to hear the Lord's voice to go do what Jesus asked him to do. I just don't think it would have happened. What happens during your devoted time? What happens during your devoted time isn't just an internal thing between you and God. It's not just an internal thing. It's not just something that we keep to ourselves. If we're doing it right, we'll know we're doing it right if it actually changes the way we're living our lives. It will show up in the workplace. It will show up in the kitchen. It'll show up in our neighborhood. It'll show up in our community. It will show up in our lives. If we're doing it right, it will change the way that we live. If we're doing it right. And at the same time, it helps us to align our hearts and our minds with the mind of God as we spend this devoted time with God. It helps us align to God's bigger plan. Ananias was part of bringing Saul to Jesus because he devoted time to the Lord. cause, effect, correlation. I think there's a correlation there. A few weeks ago, we were talking about jumping in and joining God wherever He's working. And we talked about Philip running into the Ethiopian government official. Because Philip had nurtured this relationship with the Lord, and that devoted time helped him align his life with God's will. Want to know what God's will for your life is? Do these four things. You'll find it pretty quickly. You'll find it pretty fast. You see how it all fits together? What does it take to nurture a healthy relationship with the Lord? Make space for Jesus to speak through His Word. Make space to stop and reflect on what He's saying to you, to really listen and process it. Make space to speak to Him, to dialogue with Him through prayer, and make space to respond, to apply it to your life. And so this morning, as I think about these four things, my question to each and every person in this room this morning is to grade yourself. Kind of got them up there on the screen, just these four simple things. And I'd ask you internally to just grade yourself. How am I doing? How am I doing on making space for God to speak to me through His Word? How am I doing on reading the Scriptures? Am I in the Word enough? How am I doing in terms of spending some quiet time and reflecting on what God's saying to me through His Word? How am I doing in my prayer life and my speaking to Him? And how am I letting it change what I actually do? Sometimes our lives get out of balance because we devote too much time to the wrong things. And this is kind of like this opportunity this morning to kind of just personally evaluate where you're at and say, wow, I might be good on one, but on number four, Pastor, you're right. I'm not really letting it impact my life. Or I may be really good on all of them. I don't know where you're at this morning. That's between you and God. But I would really ask you to evaluate where things are this morning on these four points. What's the quality like if God were to give you a grade card on your devoted time with Jesus? What does that look like today? And what do I need to change in my life? What do I need to do differently today, starting today, to start working on these four simple things to increase the quality of my devoted time with God and to increase the quality of my relationship with Jesus? It's simple. It's simple stuff. When we talk about devotions in the church, this is what it is. This is what it is. Devoted time. Is it important enough to you to devote time to spend with our Savior? He's dying to spend time with you. He died to spend time with you. He wants to spend more time with each and every one of us and speak to us and transform us and change us. And this is just a really simple way for us to kind of take stock, take evaluation on where things stand this morning.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.